leading into a chat about a filly who's now 2 from 2 in Zuzarella at the Valley yesterday.
Yeah, terrific effort, wasn't it, from the daughter of Zoostar, which looked very impressive when she won on debut at the Valley under Brett Pebble. And he's staying on for the ride. He's been very keen on her as a future stakes prospect right from the minute he first threw a leg over her at the jump outs. And he's established a very good rapport and partnership with her that may take them both through now to the Group 1000 Guineas, for which she's the favourite, Warren.
She was 1,200 metres on debut and 1,200 yesterday. Look, I'm sure Anthony and Sam will map out a path for her, but she gives the impression, the style of filly she is, that she'll love the rise in distance up from the 1,200, Joe.
Yes, and she's, of course, raced by Brendan and Joe Lindsay across in New Zealand. The owners now of Cambridge are huge investors in Australian and New Zealand racing, and Brendan is our guest this morning on the program. Congratulations, Brendan. Great to see the fillies step up the stakes grade yesterday.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Hi, Joe. It's Joe here.
Hi, Joe.
You've got the owner here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she races in your name, Joe. She's shaping as a very exciting filly.
That's correct. Oh, we were just so excited with her first start and win, and then, you know, to back it up yesterday was just something phenomenal.
Mm. Well, Brendan, I spoke to you during the week about how she was likely to perform and what your expectations were. And you said yourself, you know, obviously she's going to be better suited to probably a bigger type of track, the Caulfields and the Flemingtons of the world. But she got round the Valley okay yesterday. And for her to beat a star-studded field like that, including her much more fancy stablemate, Argentia, was a terrific effort.
Oh, look, it sure was. And I think that, you know, her mum won 6 races, but she didn't win until she got to 1,600 metres by Alma Herr. So it sort of tells you that she's probably going to be a little bit better when she gets over a bit more distance. But, you know, look, we obviously thought she was a winning chance yesterday, but the tote was trying to tell us that she wasn't. You know, she sort of opened at $7 and blew out to $13 and $14. You know, you sort of... Bookmakers don't often get it wrong, but they certainly got it wrong yesterday. That, you know, she was, she was just terrific, and she covered a bit of ground. We watched the video, Stuart's video this morning. She got a couple of knocks, and you know, Brett Pribble said it wasn't the flashiest ride, but they're all flash rides when they win, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. But to my eye, watching the race live, you know, she did to me look like she was the winner a long way out. To be fair, I mean, she had them pretty easily covered.
Well, I think so too. When we watched the video of her front on coming around that last bend into the straight, she had the power, and you could see that she was so further ahead than, you know, the other ones, you know, and especially Argentia, which we were really worried about. but she just flew from there, and you know, just made ground. Continued to make ground all the way through to the end. We were just quite it was quite amazing. Quite an amazing mm-hmm. finish.
Yeah. You picked her up out of the Magic Millions sales for $250,000 out of the Glastonbury Farms draft. So what was it that
That's
you
right.
liked back then?
Well, what happened there was she was a very big yearling. And she actually got passed in. Henry really liked her, and we liked her, but we didn't bid on her. But then she got passed in, and I think it was probably because she was quite big. So the following morning, Henry went back to the vendors and said that we were really interested in her. And they said, well, 300. And Henry said, well, what about 250? And so they accepted that. But at the same time, Sam and Anthony Friedman were there, and they came to us and came to Henry and said, oh, is there any chance we could train that filly? Mm-hmm. He said, well, we're not committing at the moment, because she came back to New Zealand. She was broken in here and did a little bit of pre-training here and then went back to the Friedmans.
Ah. And so, just...
quite a story.
Yeah, a bit about the pre-training process in New Zealand and your Karaka facility that you used as the feeder system for your horses to then go on and race in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an interesting story with that. We've got a very good one of our very good Indian riders whose English is his second language, and he rode her up the track one morning, and I said to him, how did that go? And he said, group horse, boss. And I said, really? He said, boss, group horse. And, you know, that was, and he's a very, very good judge. So once we heard that, we sort of thought, we started to get, you know, a little bit more excited.
Yeah, and even the breaker made some comments about her as well, saying how smooth she was and how easy she was to work with. So, you know, it all sort of wraps up into this amazing parcel that we've got.
Yeah, that's true, parcel.
Yeah, and Brett Preble's pretty happy to be on board, and a bit like the Indian track rider, didn't take him long to work out she was pretty handy.
Yeah, well, we spoke to Brett after her first win, and he was just absolutely thrilled with her, and he said, this girl's something special. And he was so thrilled for the ride. And then, again, this time, he said it was a much stronger horse in that 2 weeks as well. And he was just absolutely thrilled with her. He said, everything I ask her to do, she does.
Yeah. And so, she's been telling Brett's story and his resurgence in recent times in the very competitive Melbourne ranks. And watching his interview after the race yesterday, I detected a bit of emotion there. This filly has really mean something to him.
Yeah.
I think she does. You know, Brett's in a really good space at the moment with his riding, and he's on fire. So, and I think to have Zuzarella win her first start, and you know he coming off a Group One the week before. And now we're actually giving him an opportunity to ride Probabil as well. He's committed now to ride Probabil. So, yeah, he's quite excited about the whole thing, and especially about her.
Mm. Just before we move on to Probabil and that key move, appointing him as the rider for the rest of the spring, wrapping up on Zuzarella, obviously the 1,000 guineas is her main aim and virtually has been right throughout this campaign. She's now the race favourite. She will benefit from going to Caulfield, no doubt, the way she races. What are your feelings around that and the importance of getting a 1,000 guineas winner for, you know, as an asset for the Cambridge Broodmare Band?
Oh, well, I mean, as I said to you the other day, Group 1's are Group 1's, but to have a Zoo Star filly with that type of black type next to her name means we can mate her with any stallion. She becomes a really hot property for our business. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what Cambridge started trying to do. We're trying to breed champion racehorses. And when you've got a champion, you know, mares, it makes it a little bit easier. And it gives you so many more options to go to, you know, those, you know, the good Australian stallions or even our own stallion with Elm Menzor or Hello Usain. So, you know, that's what we look forward to, and that's what we work hard to get to. Is that's why we race so many horses. We're trying to build our broodmare brand up, and you know, become a serious player in a very tough market, which Australia is.
Mm. Well, moving on now to Probabil, who is your best female flagged era on the racetrack at the moment, and she looked fantastic winning first up this prep. The Cochrane Stakes, so that really sets the tone for what looks like going to be a very good spring ahead for her.
And she had a little bit of a setback in New Zealand, but a bit of a temperature and had a few days off. So her win in the Cochrane was pretty special. You know, a few weeks before, I'd said to Jamie that maybe we should be having a crack at the Menzies, and Jamie certainly pulled the right rein because she, you know, she found the 1,200 metres, but only just in the Cochrane, but you know, there's quite a bit of pressure on everybody, I think. Not so much on owners, but certainly trainers and jockeys. When you've got a mare like probably was one of three Group 1s, you don't want to see them go to the races and get beat. So there's quite a bit of pressure to win. And when they do, you know, it's like the bubble gets, you know, the air can come out of the out of the balloon. You've got to go, shoo, thank goodness for that. There's the excitement around having a horse like Probably. I mean, she's taken us to so many heights already. She's got nothing more to prove as far as we're concerned. And, we've won, three Group 1s. She's raced in Sydney and Melbourne. And obviously won 2 Karaka Millions. And, those are dreams. Those are racing dreams. So we just hope she stays in one piece and, carries on performing. And when she's had enough, she'll certainly get retired.
She is aimed for the Cox Plate, but that all depends on her and the track. We decided last year that we wouldn't race her again on soft tracks because she just doesn't like them. So, and especially heavy tracks, soft to heavy. So that all depends there. But that's our aim at this point.
Yes, some unfinished business there in a lot of ways. Come Cox Plate Day in October at the Valley. She ran seventh in the race last year, but as you say, excuses on the going. So fingers crossed for some better weather leading in this year.
Exactly.
Well, at the moment, the big fella upstairs is looking down and treating us pretty kindly. So, with our race results. So, we got our fingers crossed and, like everybody else does. But if we get there, fantastic. And if we don't, well, it'll be a good reason why. But we won't be lining her up unless everything's looking 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. And busy times back in New Zealand with the breeding season now underway there at Cambridge. How are things going at the farm?
Absolutely fantastic. And our two European boys, Hello Yuzane, served 2 on his first day, and El Manzor served 4 on his first day. Both the boys jumped into the shed like, they're old hands at it. They're relaxed. We've had some lovely foals, and, weather's been good, which is also makes a difference when you're foaling down in the middle of the night. But, everything's great. Both of them have got full books. Embellish is sitting around about 130 at the moment, which, for him is third season size, quite incredible. We've got no complaints. We've got a good bunch of people around us, and you look forward to your next foal, your next stallion, your next race. This racing game's it's quite infectious when it gets in your blood.
It sure is. And how are you enjoying the journey there at Cambridge? Having now a number of years ago purchased the iconic stud farm off Sir Patrick Hogan.
Oh, Joe and I really enjoy it. The thing is that we've come into the game and we didn't grow up, on a stud, and we didn't. So handling horses and looking after horses is not our forte. So we bought it, obviously, for lots of different reasons, but to keep the Cambridge Stud in New Zealand ownership was really quite a big deal for us. We felt it was important for, not to say anybody else couldn't have done it, but we thought it was a New Zealand icon, and we wanted the opportunity to put our handwriting on it, which we've done. And, we've invested a lot of money into horses, obviously, and we're getting a lot of success. But then, it is an iconic business, and we'd like to keep growing it. That's the plan, and we surrounded ourselves with what we consider as, the best group of people that we can find. And we're very, very happy on where we're going, Joe. As you know, when you've been to the farm, it's got a really nice feeling about it. It's got a nice karma about it.
And what we've also done, Joe, is we're in the process of building a heritage centre, which is actually really due to be open 17th of September, but because we're now in lockdown, we don't quite know when that will be. But this is a digital museum, signalling both the Tristram and Seville. It's quite an amazing, it's an amazing centre, and it's something to be, that we're really proud of at this point in time. It hasn't been open to the public as well. We want Sir Patrick and his family to see it first. Once again, in lockdown, we can't do that. So we're looking forward to that in the next few weeks. That's fantastic. A great initiative. Can't wait to see how it all looks. I'm sure it'll be quite amazing. And on lockdown, I mean, it's been very stop-start there in New Zealand. The industry's been shut down entirely, or racing, a couple of times now. How are you getting through all of that?
With difficulty.
Yeah, it is a bit of a challenge because obviously you set horses for races, trying to get them organised, and races are cancelled, and then you're not sure whether they're on the following week, and the program moves. I think they've done a pretty good job in New Zealand with what they've had to deal with. They don't control, you know, racing. I guess the government does in some ways. But, you know, what it is, what it is. And I always take the view, you know, only worry about things you can change. And, you know, we've all just got to adapt. And, you know, look what's, you know, Australia's having a fair chunk of worry over there at the moment. And, you know, we watch the news and we feel sorry for our Australian friends. They're either in lockdown or COVID spreading and, you know, all the other bits and pieces. We're very fortunate. We've got plenty of land to walk around on. We've got a good bunch of people around us. And as long as we all stay healthy, that's the main thing. And you know, racing becomes secondary, I think.
Yeah. No, that's very true, Brendan. And I guess some frustration for you, but it's the times. You've had to master the art of watching your horses race from your land room at home.
The lounge chairs have got big springs in them and we're jumping and screaming and yelling off them. So we're actually presently at our Karaka farm. We've spent the last 3 weeks here in Cambridge, which is so good because the boys are, Lance is still training on the farm. So we're able to sort of still carry on doing those sort of things rather than and just keeping all the horses just ready to go.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Great to talk to you both this morning. All the best of luck with the continued campaign of Zuzarello into the 1,000 guineas. She'll be hard to beat in that race, and look forward to seeing probably it'll hopefully make her way right through to the Cox Plate again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. It seems like a long way, you know, like probably it doesn't race for 2 weeks. And I said to Joe this morning, God, it's going to be a long 2 weeks waiting for her to come to the race again. But it's exciting times, and we're going to enjoy every single moment of it. We hope all the people that you know, have a bet or follow our horses, they're enjoying as much as we are.
Yeah, fantastic. That's Brendan and Joe Lindsay across in New Zealand giving us time this morning. Warren, great to chat with them both. They've got some exciting horses on their hands at the moment.
Yes, waiting a couple of weeks before Probabil gets back to the races. I'm sure he'll cope, but you know, and celebrate the win of Zuzarella yesterday. And what great horses those two look like being, particularly Zuzarella. Probabil already in that category with multiple Group 1 wins. And just great to have access to people like that, Joe. It was like a morning chat show there with you, Brendan and Joe. It was just great to share their excitement in terms of what they're achieving racing in those colours.
Yeah. Well, Australian and New Zealand racing is very fortunate to have people like Joe and Brendan involved, certainly as heavily as they are now. A number of years ago, they sold their company for a lot of money and have poured a lot of that back into the sport and the breeding side of things as well, and continuing on the iconic story of Cambridge Stud. They're lovely people. I've known them for over 20 years, and they were, you know, racing only a handful of horses in New Zealand and Australia. It is quite extraordinary to see how deep in they are now, and it's always nice to see people that are so passionate get some success on the track, and I really like that filly, Zuzarella. I think she's a real star. I'm with Brett Preble on her.
What else caught your eye at the Valley, Joe?
Oh, the win of Cliff Brown's horse, the Inferno, was something else, wasn't it? And what he said after the race, declaring it as the best horse he's ever trained. How fantastic for Cliff, who's returned from a long and successful stint training in Singapore. That horse was very much instrumental, he said, in being the catalyst for him to decide to come home. So great to see him getting some good results there with that horse. And of course in Sydney yesterday, you'll be covering that off with Ray Thomas, no doubt, but still catching my breath after that extraordinary run of Zaki yesterday. How good's he?
Yes, yeah, that was a daunting reminder of well, he may well have even improved since Queensland. Who knows? Look, but fresh. He obviously had some spring in his step, but Nature Strip back to his brilliant sprinting best. There was plenty of highlights both in Melbourne and Sydney yesterday. And good to see Danny O'Brien forging that relationship with the Peters family from WA and Superstorm, winning the Fian on the way to a Cox Plate. But, yeah, taking on the might of Zaki down the track looks a daunting prospect.
Yeah, no, that was great to see the big chestnut Superstorm win yesterday, the Fian, milestone for Danny O'Brien, as you say, and his new partnership with Bob Peters, who's entrusted his horses from the West into his care for these big carnival campaigns. So that was a very meaningful win yesterday by Superstorm for that relationship moving forward. And you could see, you know, Danny O'Brien afterwards speaking about the horse's performance and detecting the excitement there in Danny, because it is such an important relationship to forge with such a Leviathan breeder and owner as Bob Peters. So they're off and running there. But I'm not sure that Superstorm will get these after come Cox Plate Day. What will, really?
No, that's going to be the challenge, I suppose. We saw very elegant resume and a bunch finish there. But, yeah, he did look like he's going to be the benchmark. But plenty of water to go under the bridge, and looking forward to that unfolding. What are you most looking forward to in the next week or so, Jo?
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to just waking up each day at the moment. I mean, that's the way you've got to look at life. I think we've got to take everything day by day, don't we? And fortunately, we have these great race days on Saturdays to look forward to and keep us well entertained throughout the afternoon on a Saturday, and give us plenty to talk about on a Sunday as well. I think racing has certainly brightened a lot of people's lives during these COVID times, and I think attracted new fans to the sport as well.
No doubt, Jo. Enjoy your afternoon in the canola fields.
Thanks, Warren.